Many thanks first to Milan and Joe for organizing this very interesting session, which also gives us an opportunity to be in Prague. So I will be talking to you about reconstruction algorithms under sparsity constraints, and so that kind of relates also to lots of activity going on in signal processing and compressed sensing, and give you some application in MRI and bioluminescence tomography. In doing so, I'll give you also a kind of state of the art of the current reconstruction algorithms that use regularization constraints by the way of sparsity. So first, I will just discuss a little the variational approach to image reconstruction, where you need to minimize some functional and where you introduce some sparsity constraints. Then I will review some of the standard algorithm, in particular iterative soft thresholding, the algorithm that's ISTA, the faster version of it, which is a kind of multi-step algorithm, which gives you sort of the state of the art coming from convex analysis. And then in this talk, I want to discuss our variation of FISTA, which is sort of, you know, tailored to the problem, which will use step size adaptation to gain some speed, because the goal here is really to get to the speed of the conventional linear techniques that have been used for many years, and then application to parallel MRI and bioluminescence tomography. So here is just the setup. So we have some object X that we'd like to image, for example, a proton density or some absorption map. And then we have the scanner here that we will just assume we have a linear measurement system, which is the usual assumption in MRI X-ray. And so it's an integral operator, but since here we have discretized the problem, so we can all represent by a big fat matrix H that represents all our physics knowledge of the problem. And then at the output, we have some model imperfection and noise, and all that I represent by B. Yeah, maybe I should do like Milan. You know, like, you know, as professors, we're more used to be in the room. So here I was saying we have noise, and so our imaging model here looks very easy, just this imaging matrix applied to the object that we would like to recover, plus some noise. And then in the variational approach, so you just set up this kind of this criterion here, where you have a data consistency requirement, so you are kind of reconstructing X, and then you're simulating your measurements, and you would like this difference to be very small with respect to the true measurements. And then here you introduce some regularization constraint, and this is the art of reconstruction here to just choose the right regularization. And classically here, for example, if we put a quadratic term here with, let's say, some derivative operator here, that gives us Tikhonov regularization. But now with compressed sensing, actually all this was started by the observation that many images, natural images, would represent with very few large coefficients in some bases, in particular wavelet bases. And in fact, this happens as well. Very significantly with medical images, and so here's some MRI image, and just showing different transformations, and so that you can get pretty good signal restitution by just keeping a very small percentage of large coefficients, and so this is really like used to sort of justify the use of wavelets, and so here. Then the idea is to use a regularization where you will impose a L1 penalty on the wavelet coefficient. So here R would represent, let's say, my wavelet transform. L1 norm promotes sparsity. And Y, it's good, it's convex. So then we have like some guarantee of existence, unicity, or solution. And also it will favor sparse solution. Okay, so here is sort of the grandfather of those sparse reconstruction algorithm. And so what you want to do is to minimize this, okay? You have this L2 term and this sparsity constraint. Here I'm just assuming X is the representation in the wavelet basis, and I'm using an augmented system matrix that sort of condenses the wavelet transform followed by the imaging device. So then you have two very special cases, very easy, completely classical. So first, if you put lambda equals zero, just a least square problem, so it's a textbook solution, it's one line calculation, you get that. Unfortunately, those are huge matrices. No way you can compute that, and probably you would not even want to compute that. But then there's sort of the grandfather of algorithms here, which is this steepest descent algorithm onto this data term. And I mean, this is sort of, the basic backbone of many iterative algorithms. And this works, but you have to stop it after a certain number of iterations. But now the other interesting case is if H is identity or a unitary matrix, like a wavelet transform. In that case, in fact, this problem you can solve by just going the wavelet domain, doing a soft thresholding and going back. Now, iterative soft thresholding algorithm, which was discovered, well, many people probably, but Figueiredo and Novak were among the very first here using an EM formulation. And so they kind of observed, if you were just iterating between those two very easy primitive algorithms, remarkably, this would solve this problem, which looked like a very difficult problem. And then Dobéchy, De Vries, De Mol in 2004 were able to show that actually proof convergence. And so that was a little revolution in the field, although I must say the algorithm is really very slow. So maybe not so usable in that form. And now if you just look at the structure, actually it's a fixed point algorithm. So what you have is a rule, which is this gradient descent followed by thresholding that will give you the new update. And then there is this nice mathematics that guarantees convergence. Unfortunately, it's very slow. So it has been shown now that the cost will decrease like 1 over n, where n is the number of iteration. But then by building on many, many years of convex optimization, then there was this proposition in 2009 of FISTA, which is like a controlled over-relaxation variation on this theme. But essentially what it is, it's an updating strategy that not only builds upon the previous estimate, but takes two previous estimates, so n minus 1 and n, and then we'll construct a kind of prediction of what the correct update should be, and then apply the ISTA algorithm, so to just make it consistent with the problem we are trying to solve. And now, remarkably, this FISTA algorithm gives you n square, so it's one order faster, and so it gives you now a fast enough algorithm to apply this kind of technique. So now what we are proposing here is some variation, and so we call it fast, weighted iterative soft thresholding algorithm. And the idea is pretty simple. So we had the step size in the algorithm, which was just your getting factor for the gradient. So we replaced that by a diagonal matrix. And actually, we can also obtain some flexibility on the side of the regularization. So we could put a slightly more general regularization matrix. And usually, the FISTA or the ISTA algorithm are derived using sort of constructing a quadratic bound on the cost functional. And then always trying to go in the bottom of this quadratic bound. Now, if you have more flexibility here with introducing this matrix, in fact, what you can do, you can construct better quadratic bound that is really tailored to your problem. And so hopefully this should allow us to go faster. And then actually we can do some math here. And so we obtain now this kind of inequality on the cost. So now if you look at it superficially, for a mathematician, it doesn't look so much better because we're still like order n square, 1 over n square. But the important thing here, instead of having a Euclidean norm, we have a weighted norm. And actually this accounts for the constant of the algorithm. And now it means that clever engineering can really like pump down those constants quite significantly, and then you can end up being much faster. So the application here, I just want to show you two examples. By the way, I forgot to acknowledge my co-authors, okay, who are the ones who did all the work, and this is the first one, Mathieu Guerquin-Kern, who is working on parallel MRI, actually in collaboration with the guy who invented parallel MRI, so it's Klaus Pussmann from the ETH Zurich. And so here the idea is just to have a bunch of coils here, and for those who know a little basics about MRI, so MRI essentially will compute samples of measure samples of the Fourier transform, but if you have coils and multiple coils, there's also the sensitivity function. So it's your object X multiplied by a sensitivity function, that's the sensitivity of your coil, and doing the Fourier transform of all that. And in parallel MRI, you just put several coils, and so you can do the measurement in parallel, and hopefully this allows you to reconstruct images using fewer samples. And so now here, how can we exploit the structure of the problem? So we need really to take those degrees of freedom that are left, which is this diagonal weighting matrix. So if you look at the parallel MRI, what we have, so for each coil here, you would have the sensitivity matrix, which is just a diagonal matrix followed by Fourier. And now the problem here is this sensitivity can vary a lot depending on your coils. And it's pretty inhomogeneous, and that makes the problem not so well conditioned. Because for many years, actually, MRI was just doing an inverse Fourier transform. So it's a unitary transform. So it's no-brain problem for inverse imaging, inverse problem people. But I mean, with that, it becomes much less well conditioned. So now the idea of sensitivity-based preconditioning here. Okay, so it's try to inversely weight with respect to the sensitivities. Just try to get a better conditioning system matrix in this preconditioned system of variables. And so now, if you think of it in the wavelet domain, you could almost do the same. But okay, you just have to transpose your sensitivity in the wavelet domain, and intuitively, it's just the wavelet is more or less localized, so you will just aggregate sensitivities over the support of the wavelets, and then get this kind of preconditioning matrix here, and so that makes a much better version, better preconditioned version of the algorithm. So here are some examples. I could also have shown you with real data, but here we're just using the Shep and Logan phantom because just to compare the performance of the algorithm. So we are taking a pretty realistic setup here with four receiving coils, some noise here, and a certain number of radial trajectories. And we're using a reconstruction in the Hart domain using a two-level Hart transform. And so this would be the traditional ISTA algorithm, so this iterative soft thresholding. And so this is the cost evolution of the cost function, and this is the error with respect to the solution, actually the exact solution of our optimization problem. And so you see this kind of typical evolution of the classical, the typical algorithm is not very fast. And then if you do FISTA, it's much faster. This is this N-square type of performance. But now, if you do this preconditioning, as we propose in this work, we get more or less the same slope, but, okay, we get there earlier. And actually, in practice, this makes a huge difference because we may be happy here, okay, with this kind of performance. And so it means we can get there at a much faster speed because this is the number of iteration. And same here. So maybe just to show you some examples of reconstruction. So here I'm just showing you the evolution of the solution with the number of iterations. So that's the ISTA. So iterative soft thresholding goes there very slowly. FISTA goes there very much faster. And if we have those appropriate weight, we go there even faster. So essentially here we chose as such that we can get this quality here with this number of iterations, so we can essentially, or here it was, okay, two, actually this is better quality as that, so we can go there four times as fast with this particular setup. So, why not use it? I mean, get there four times better and faster, and anyway, all those methods are optimizing the same cost function. Okay, so then the second application was bioluminescence tomography. And so this is a much harder inverse problem because it's very, very badly conditioned. And here what you have, you have some bioluminescent molecules or markers within the specimens. And then you have like detectors just around the object of interest. And here, I mean, you have, okay, optical setup, but I mean, here the light is just diffusing. And in fact, you have the diffusion equation, so you can solve this diffusion equation using the Green function, and this will give you a system matrix, and it still corresponds to a linear model, but extremely badly conditioned because of those Green functions. So here, the Green functions actually look like that, so there's a decay like 1 over a norm of R to the power 2, and it happens to be very poorly conditioned also. So the idea, now is my second co-author, Jean-Charles, was try to, you know, use this flexibility of the preconditioning to try to, you know, get a much better conditioning by just multiplying this by this diagonal matrix. And so you had the insight that if you were more or less to normalize this system matrix to make it like constant energy, it would produce a much better conditioning. And so this results then in this type of setup for the reconstruction algorithm. And in this case, so here we have also some experiments here, synthetic. First, just to demonstrate that it really works, so we just have two bioluminescent sources, point sources. So here we are imposing sparsity in the space domain because it's very small sources here. And here's a comparison of the three algorithms. By the way, it's also physically realistic modeling of different optical parameters, number of sources, detectors, etc., also some noise. And so here the ISTA algorithm goes pretty slow, the FISTA goes much faster, and our algorithm goes at the same, let's say, rate at the FISTA, but gets there much faster. And in this case, we have a tenfold speed up by essentially using the same algorithm just with this clever preconditioning. Here are some results. So here is the sources. And so this is the evolution of the standard algorithm. So it has it's very badly conditioned. So it's very, very blurry. It will take a long time to get there. This is the FISTA, goes faster. And this is the weighted FISTA. And essentially here we also set it up so that you have a correspondence here. So let's say we are 10 times faster. So 10 times is a lot for imaging. So then this makes it much more practical. So that really gets me to the end here. So the conclusion here, in principle, we can hope we get better quality, taking advantage of all those methods based on sparsity. So it has been demonstrated in the field that you get better reconstruction. Now we can also aim at getting speed, and this is the synergistic use of different acceleration strategies, so the multi-step update, the adaptive weights. And so now, presently, we are within a factor 10, or even a little less, of the best linear techniques, which are conjugate gradients. And so now it becomes very applicable. Now, the good news for signal processing, there's still like, it's not like a canned algorithm. It requires your expertise to just find the right adaptive step and conditioning so that your algorithm will work for us. And finally, generality, because it's transposable to many modalities, as Milan was saying, the X-ray tomography. Actually, in the lab, we also use working on phase contrast tomography, also on fluorescence microscopy and other modalities. And so that's just the end here. Thank you for your attention.
We have time for maybe one quick question.
Just wondering if you can comment on your choice of wavelet sparsity instead of like total variation, and whether your new technique can be used to accelerate total variation reconstruction.
Yeah, actually, it's a very good question. We just have a paper on that that hopefully should come out in this journal in the next month or so. There's a trick with wavelet because wavelets are not completely shift invariant. So, in fact, if you just use conventional wavelets and total variation works a little better. But now, if you allow for shifts with wavelet, and there's something that's called cycle spinning, we show that we can get as good or even a little better than total variation. And it's much faster to accelerate the wavelet scheme than the total variation, where there's all this issue of duality. But of course, people are also working on total variation, and they're also fast version of total variation. But I think it's easier to get fast algorithm with the sort of synthesis formulation rather than the analysis formulation. But so the good news is with wavelet we can get as good as total variation. So we have documented it with MRI imaging.
Let's thank Mike Unser once again. Thanks.